Good afternoon. This podcast is going to be about Robert Ben Rhodes, also known as the Truck Stop Killer. Definitely a piece of shit. And weird, really. I mean, what serial killer isn't weird? But it's believed that he killed up to, if not more than 50 women in between 1975 and 1990. Might ask yourself, like I did, God bless, why was it so many years before he got caught? Well, he's a truck driver, so it's very hard to pin down where he was and what he had done. But on Robert Ben Rhodes, he was born in November 22nd, 1945. He's credited as an American serial killer and a rapist. He was only convicted for 3 murders and slated.
It's messed up.
I mean, if you suspect he killed, and it wasn't just killed, it was torturing, raping, and, you know, as we'll come to find out, in his truck, he actually had a little kit set up, but he also had a place at his apartment, too, where he could take him back if he really liked him.
Some charges were dropped because of families.
Some of the families did not want charges. They just wanted to put all this behind them.
They knew he did it. They had closure. They just didn't want to bring it up and have their family talked about, I guess, maybe.
Mm-hmm. And it's based off of his truck routes and the women who went missing during the years between 1975 and 1990. Who he met the profile of his preferred victims. That's where they got that 50 or plus number of women. When he was caught, he was actively engaging in these activities with a woman that he had handcuffed, and he had a bit gag in her mouth. It was like a horse bridle. That was his gag of choice, which is not really a gag. I mean, it's not going to keep anybody quiet.
I think he liked the screams, though.
But, yeah, he liked the scream, but he did not like the talking. So, he was born and raised in Council Bluff, Iowa. What in the fuck is up with these names? Elephant Bluff or Butte?
Elephant Butte and Truth and Consequences.
Council Bluff. Maybe that's where the serial killers are coming from. He was raised by his mother, and his father was a soldier, I guess, in the United States Army. He was actually, at the time when Robert was growing up, can we just say that Robert's a piece of shit, and we'll call him a piece of shit? So when the piece of shit was growing up, his dad was actually stationed in West Germany. So he didn't really have that strong father figure there at the time. He was in elementary school when his father had returned overseas, from overseas. He was discharged from the military, and his father was a firefighter in the military. His early life was relatively normal, aside from unspecified social problems in his formative years, which probably means, you know, he...
Mental issues,
probably shy, confidence problems. He was also an active participant in extracurricular activities. He liked sports, gridiron football, wrestling, choir, French club. And when he was in high school, he was arrested at 16 for tampering with a vehicle along with public fighting in 1962 when he was 17. So that's his criminal history up to that point. No reports of him killing animals or anything like that that I can see on here right now.
Well, with the one we just did too, there was none of that.
Right.
I mean, they say that that's a staple for a serial killer, but sometimes you don't see it.
Yeah, I mean, and maybe that's why we find these pieces of shit particularly disturbing. After graduating from Thomas Jefferson High School in Council Bluff, he joined the Marine Corps. During that same year, his father was arrested for molesting a 12-year-old girl, and then his father committed suicide while he was waiting trial.
So, piece of shit?
I guess, yeah. Seems like it runs in the family, just passing that down. After a few years, Rhodes was dishonorably discharged from the military for his involvement in a robbery. So, whatever he's done now, I wouldn't say this is escalating, but I feel like this is almost one of those things where he's trying things. The robbery. There was probably more stuff, too, not reported.
Petty crimes is what he's doing.
He's probably just feeling out what does it for him. He's trying to recreate something that probably made him. That's a common trait among the serial killers, is trying to recreate that feeling that gave them that first initial...
high.
Oh, wow. Yeah, almost, you know, euphoric or orgasmic feeling. Let's see. So he did go to college, but he did later drop out. He tried to join law enforcement, but was rejected probably because he was dishonorably discharged.
It was on his record.
And the robbery as well. Throughout the 70s and 80s, he was married three times. He had a son. He found work in supermarkets, grocery stores, warehouses, restaurants. But eventually, he settled on becoming a long-haul truck driver. Now, it doesn't say that he probably chose that as an opportunity for him to do his work.
No, I think he probably chose that one because it was steady work and it wasn't like busy work, I guess. Because it seems like since he went through all of those, like the restaurants and warehouses and stuff, it wasn't steady.
Mm-hmm.
And the long haul trucking would be.
Well, it's not even just about the steady. I think he was looking at as opportunity. So here's why I say that. And I'm drawing into this. This is not stated here. I'm drawing into it because I'm reading it and I'm drawing those conclusions and lines. And although sometimes people don't like that I do that, I think a lot of times it comes out that's true. And in the 80s, he developed a hobby for BDSM. Now, they don't say what the hobby was, but it is reported that he did verbally, physically, and sexually abuse his third wife, Deborah.
And I think that's when he was starting to try to get into the BDSM scene.
And then he then later became a truck driver thinking, oh, well, what I want to do is not good. Because it, I mean, it is good if you are, again, we've said this with the Parker Ray, if it's consenting, it's fine.
Right.
But I think for him, it wasn't even about he wanted to see someone suffer as much as
he wanted the control.
And he didn't even care if you consented.
Right.
Like, if he consented, great. But if you didn't, great.
It's happening anyway.
Right. And so as a means of control, he had this contraption set up in his the cab of his truck, which was leg irons, handcuffs. He had the bridle, the horse
right.
bridle, which
and
was a
had,
real horse bridle.
Right. And then he had, like, stuff anchored
to keep
into
in
the still to attach all that stuff to.
And again, consenting scenarios, that's not a bad thing at all. It's when you are a serial killer and rapist. It becomes bad when you don't really care what the other person thinks. For his hobbies and becoming a truck driver, he preyed on hitchhikers and truck stop sex workers. They reported this could have started as far back as 1970s. So he was already doing this, not being a truck driver. So maybe, too, that kind of, in his mind, he was like, if I become a truck driver, though.
And it would be, in that time period, you got to think about what it was, the 80s?
It says he started all the way back in the 70s, possibly. He's
admitted
to it.
But for sure, they have him doing it in the 80s.
Yeah.
Okay, so you don't have the databases and the computer stuff that you have now. You don't have states talking to each other. So, because I think that's also why they had such a hard time with Bundy. Because he was bouncing all over the place.
Correct.
So with him, he was probably thinking, yeah, he's like, I can cross state lines and do all this crap, and they'll never even know it was me because he's not there long. He could just be like going through the state, find somebody.
Well, there was even a where they had the victim. He was there. They asked her if that was him, and she said no. And it was him.
It was him, but she said no because, what, she had been there. He had her for like 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And she was so scared that if she said it was him, that they wouldn't believe her or he would get let loose and he would come back for her.
My God.
So she was that traumatized that just seeing him, she's like, no, that's not him. Because after he was actually caught, she came back and she said, yeah, that was him all along. I was just too scared to say anything at the time.
Well, his first confirmed victims were Patricia Candace Walsh, later known as a former girlfriend of a metal vocalist, Warren Worrell Dane, from the band Sanctuary and Nevermore. Sounds like 80s bands, honestly. Her husband, Douglas Zykowski, in 1990, the couple were hitchhiking when Rhodes picked them up in his truck and immediately killed Zykowski, the husband.
Well, yeah, you're going to.
And dumped his body. They found his body in Sutton County, Texas, where it was later found, but he was not identified until 1992. So he picked up the couple. He killed the husband. I guess the band wasn't real successful at their hitchhiking.
Was it the guy that was in the band, or was she like a formal girlfriend of somebody in a band?
Oh, yes. She was actually... Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you're right. She was a former... she was a girlfriend of Warren Dane, who was actually in the bands. I don't know why they felt like they needed to put that. Whatever. He was not identified until 1992. For over a week, he kept Walsh. He tortured her, raped her multiple times before dumping her body in Millard County, Utah.
And something also that it's not mentioned yet, and I don't know if it'll be mentioned. He liked to cut their hair.
Yes, I'm actually getting to that. That was a thing with him. And take the picture as well.
So people have probably seen pictures, like, when they've looked at this and maybe not realized it was him.
Yeah, it was the girl in the black dress holding her hand out.
Okay, because we've
from
seen,
a Polaroid.
Yeah, we've seen that picture a lot of times, like, on YouTube, where they do, like, scary, like...
Pictures with scary backstories.
Bad stories, yeah, and not connected that this was him.
Almost a month after Walsh's death, he grabbed an 18-year-old drifter. She escaped and informed police. When Rhodes was detained, the victim declined to press charges, feeling that she would not be believed despite the extensive evidence.
That was the girl we were just talking about.
Right. In her statement, she says, "I don't see any good in filing charges. It's just going to be my word against his. If there was any evidence, I would file charges and sue him." If they would have just checked the cab of his truck, there's the evidence. But his thing, too, was they were consenting as well.
Yeah, he would say that.
Yes. And so, I guess that would be hard.
Because if she's saying, yeah, he didn't do it, and he's saying, well, it was consenting. It just goes to the Dahmer thing, where you got this naked kid running down the street, and the cops are like, oh, it was just a lover spat, because they don't want to get involved.
Don't want to get involved, and really, a lot of times, too, to them, it's just more trouble to, you know.
And I think in this time period also, if she went into detail about the bondage and everything, it probably would have made him uncomfortable and been like, we don't want to mess with that. We don't even want to hear about it. We don't want to talk about it. We'll just let it go.
Well, it was later asserted that she was fearful of Rhodes after enduring 2 weeks in his truck. He had converted the sleeper cab of his truck into a personal torture chamber where he kept women sometimes for weeks, torturing and raping them. Days later, a 14-year-old, Regina K. Walters, and her boyfriend, Ricky Lee Jones, both runaway teenagers from Texas, disappeared. They were hitchhiking, and it's believed that they were picked up by Rhodes, and automatically the boyfriend is killed.
Mm-hmm.
Photos that were seized during a search of Rhodes' home confirmed that he held Walters for a long time, based on the degree of her hair growth and bruising. Jones' body was found in 1991 in Lamar County in a barn.
And she was just bone, wasn't she?
She was just bone, yes. And actually, there was reports of people seeing someone going into that barn, but it was kind of a deserted area, and nobody really thought too much about it. Kind of weird, but they didn't want to get involved.
Well, and she wasn't found until the owner of the farm in that barn went in there and started looking around, because he was getting ready to demolish the barn because he wasn't using it, and it was in bad shape. So he was just walking around to make sure there was nothing in there that he wanted to take out and keep, and just happened to glance over and saw the bones and called the cops.
Correct.
So if he wouldn't have went into that barn to check it out and before he set it on fire, she'd have never been found.
Let's see. Some of his testimony's kind of strange, too. In the early morning of April 1st, 1990, a state trooper, Mike Miller, on an Arizona highway, found a truck at the side of I-10 with its hazard lights on. When he investigated inside the cab, he discovered a nude woman, later identified as Kathleen Vine, handcuffed and screaming. There was also a male present who identified himself as the driver of the truck. After failing to talk his way out of the situation, Rhodes turned over a gun which had been on his person. He was arrested and charged with aggravated assault, sexual assault, and unlawful imprisonment. He was left handcuffed in Miller's patrol car, where he tried to escape,
It almost did, because he walked almost. Away. The trooper walked away to check on the woman and left him there. And by the time he came back, he had taken his hands and from the back and put them in front of him, and he was getting ready to crawl out the window.
Agile.
Well, because the guy was there by himself. He was calling in backup because he even told the woman, he's like, look, I'm getting help. He's like, I can't undo you yet. He's like, I got to get a detective here. So as he was reassuring her, his ass almost got away.
I mean, can you imagine that? Just think about that girl in that truck. Can you imagine that?
Well, think about the cop that pulled up, because he pulls up to see what's wrong with the truck because the hazard lights are on. And then he finds that, and he's by himself. I mean, that's got to be...
Right. And I mean, just trying to put your headspace into that girl, you know.
Like, she's like, there's help, but you're telling me I got to stay here?
Naked, handcuffed back here. You know, this is not only embarrassing, but what... I don't think it said he actually had assaulted her yet.
I think he was in the process. Oh, yeah, I don't think it really says, like, how long he had her or, like, what had happened yet. But, yeah, I mean, I guess in a way you feel better because you know there's a cop there and you know you might be safe. But then on the other hand, you're being told you got to stay in that car, handcuffed. So, yeah, it's kind of messed up. I'd be like, bitch, no, uncuff me now.
Right. Well,
I can stay here, but let me loose.
Well, I think his spidey sense kind of went off, and he figured that there was something bigger to this. You know, because if he's got this going on and it's not consensual, then there's definitely probably some other skeletons in this well, fucker's closet.
He was trying to say that, no, we're just playing. This is totally consensual. And she's screaming in the car that...
No, it's not.
The hell it is.
Right. And you know, at that point, he probably sensed that, yeah, I do need a detective here. Well, it's a good thing he did, though, because it actually... after he was arrested, they actually was able to get a search warrant for his place, where they found photos of a new teenager who was later identified as Walters. So they've been searching for Walters all this time.
Yeah, they had been looking for.
And her body was found in 1990.
And they didn't know who to pin it on, but because of those photos.
Correct. There was also, just kind of looking through, just looking through some of his stuff or whatever, but they say that the thing in his... cab of his truck was a torture chamber. He outfitted it with welded bar equipped with hooks. With his chamber, Rhodes would pick up any unassuming female hitchhikers, dispatch the male companions.
If totally there was two, yeah.
If necessary, rape and torture the victim as he traveled until he inevitably murdered them and dumped their bodies. So he wasn't one that let him know.
Oh, no, not like Ray was.
At least one victim, Pamela Milliken, unknowingly survived her brush with Rhodes in 1985. She was picked up while hitchhiking. Rhodes at some point motioned towards a sign reading, cash, grass, or ass, no one rides for free.
Well, yeah, because some of the people he would pick up, there was a name for them. I can't remember what the name for them was, but it would be sex workers that would work at truck stops that would sleep with the truckers to get them to the next destination.
And, you know, too, in that time, definitely not a smart practice, but hitchhiking was not...
unheard of back then.
I mean,
then.
It happened a lot. It was a mode of transportation for a lot of people.
I mean, you legit see people trying to do it now.
And it really was nothing but a playground for a sick fuck like this.
Yeah.
And not to mention the people who haven't been caught yet or the people who haven't been found. This really provided him with that opportunity. And to the point, he made his own... I mean, he had a place where he had a torture chamber where, like, he could bring a girl home. But he found it more off, you know, more obliging to just pick them up off the road and torture them in the cab of his truck until he got to the next town.
Well, and that's also...
So I really believe the 50 or up number. I believe that number.
And it's also kind of smart on his part because you're taking the crime scene with you.
Right.
You're not leaving behind a crime scene. You're leaving behind bodies, but by the time these bodies are found, they're bone. They're decomposed. There's no evidence left on them. And if there is, it was like, I think with the one girl, the Walters, there was some towel strings, like remnants of a towel found, but it was a towel that was mass manufactured.
Yeah, so,
so like, just because he had that towel, that same kind of towel that matched the fibers,
that doesn't mean he
did it. But the nude pictures that he had pretty much sealed his fate with her.
And as we mentioned before, he did have a thing with making the girls cut their hair.
Yeah, because all of the pictures that he had, they were all like shaved. Well, they weren't shaved.
No, they were just really short.
It was like short pixie cuts.
Yeah. And so he had a thing for that. And I think that was about control, humiliation.
And he may have kept the hair. It didn't really say what happened to the hair after it was cut. It's just...
Yeah, it didn't really say for trophies. And I'm not sure he took pictures of everybody. So, but he had this sign back there. So that, imagine that. You're hitchhiking. You get in the truck. You're thinking, oh, okay, I got to ride to the next place. And then you see that sign. You look back. And then you see what's in the sleeper cab of the truck. You know, and the sign reads, cash, grass, or ass. No one rides for free.
Be like, well, how much cash are we talking?
Milliken did consent to having sex with him. She forgot about the incident until decades later when photographs of Rhodes in Rhodes' possession were distributed online with suspicion of subjects of the pictures were victims. She stated the truck driver introduced himself as Robert before snapping the picture, and which explained, he explained, if you rip me off, I can tell the cops you stole from me. And that was his reason for taking the picture. So those were his trophies, were the pictures.
Were the pictures.
Yeah.
But why would he cut a trophy from her if all he did was have sex with her and let her go?
No, he didn't cut a trophy. He just took a picture of her.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. If he's keeping the pictures as trophies, because typically they keep trophies of the people they kill. So why if... I guess that's my question. Why keep her picture if you just let her go?
I don't know.
Or maybe he kept it because he was like, I decided that she got to go.
This coming from Rhodes, the woman who will not be named to protect her identity, told police Rhodes had picked her up while she was hitchhiking. She had fallen asleep as he drove and woke as Rhodes was shoving her into the sleeper cab. She showed authorities her injuries, including a long crisscrossing welts on her back, forming a torture grid, as Alva Bush described in The Marks and Roadside Prey. The woman also described being whipped, being threatened to have her nipples ripped off as Rhodes put metal clamps over them, and Rhodes gloating that he had done this for 15 years.
Well, he also had him a little, it looked like a toolbox that was his kit.
Yes.
That FBI people we saw in the documentary said that they'd never seen anything like that before or since.
So, in 1990, that picture of Walters that was found, in the photo, she appears visibly distressed, wearing ill-fitting high-heeled shoes and putting her hands in front of her in a defensive stance while backing away from the person who's taking the picture. She was identified by her dental records in 2003. Her body was found in the loft of the barn in South Illinois, which looks similar to the background of the photograph. Walters was looking distressed and indicates that she was likely murdered shortly after taking the picture in the barn.
And that's probably true.
And they did find a wire around her neck, so she was more than likely strangled with the wire. I guess as authorities were investigating Walters' murder, her father had mentioned he received a telephone call from a man believed to have been Rhodes, making a sadistic comment about Walter's death made around the time of her murder. I think the comment that what we saw in the...
Was that she would be found in a barn.
And they left it at that.
Yeah, that she would... Because he didn't just call the dad, he called the mom, too. And they were, like, confused because the dad's number wasn't listed. Like, it was a private number. He wouldn't have been able to find it anywhere. And then it... found out that he had at his apartment, they had her like little address book.
Mm-hmm.
Like he kept that, and that's how he was able to get the dad's phone number, because she had it written in there, because her parents were divorced at the time.
If you look at these, I mean, the photograph, it's pretty shocking. Actually, the girl does look very scared. I mean, it looks pretty bad. This coming from been roads. In 1985, the biggest problem was sleep. There was no safe way for me to get it. Probably because you had women handcuffed in the back of your sleeper cab.
Yeah, so it's not like you can pull off into a motel parking lot and go into a motel and sleep if you got somebody handcuffed in the back.
Right.
Because he wasn't drugging him like Parker did, or Ray. Because Ray would drug him.
Yeah, no, these I mean, this was totally taken by brute force, I guess. And looking at, I guess there's been all kinds of books and stuff written on him. I haven't really seen anything about a movie that's been written about
him. I don't think there was a movie or anything based on him. I'm sure there probably is movies out there of hitchhikers and stuff like that. But I don't think they did anything like that.
Rhodes was convicted of the sexual assault and torture of the survivor in Texas and sentenced to 6 years before he was extradited to Illinois to be tried in the Walters murder. There, he was convicted of murder and sentenced to life without the possibility of parole, despite Walter's body not being positively identified at that time. Then he was extradited to Utah for Walsh's murder, but was moved to Texas and tried for Zukowski's murder as well as Walsh's murder. Rhodes pled guilty to both counts in an effort to avoid the death penalty, and again was sentenced to life. He is currently serving his term in Illinois, though. If he is granted a release for any reason, he'll be returned to Texas to serve the remainder of his sentence.
Yeah, because he got sentenced to 2 life terms. And he would have been sentenced for more, but like we saw with some other people, the families wanted the cases just dropped. Like, they dropped the cases. They didn't want it to go to trial. They didn't want to hear about it anymore, and they didn't want to hear about the torture and stuff that their family went through.
He has had a couple books written on him. The Evil That Men Do, and then also Roadside Prey. There was a film, Midnight in Switchgrass.
Yeah, I've never even heard of that. That must be like a D movie. Right. It's not even on Netflix.
So how many times do we think this happens? You got somebody with this much opportunity. Like, there's even pictures of this guy wearing, like, the whole leather harness BDSM thing.
Now, my question is, when he first started to get into that, yeah, I saw that. Was he trying to find, like, clubs? Clubs have been around in the 80s for that?
See, this is what I think about him. I think he was initially trying to find a place where he had an outlet to do this. I don't think at first, initially, his first thought was to murder people. I think he was trying to curb it by going through the BDSM lifestyle.
And it maybe,
but he found that for him, the BDSM lifestyle was just a little too vanilla.
Right, and he wanted it stronger. And
he needed some flavor.
So, and also my question, could his wife have said that, you know, he was abusing her because he was trying this lifestyle out with his wife, and she's like, yeah, we can try it because you're interested in it. And then she's like, dude, I don't like this. And he's like, nah, let's keep going. And then she's like, that's where the abuse comes in.
Well, I think, too, that's possible. And I think that for him, obviously, he has no self-control.
Clearly.
I mean, he can't just participate in the activities that she was probably consenting at first. I mean, it says he dabbled with it, so I'm assuming that he was probably trying to introduce it through means of video, maybe means of magazine, conversation.
Fuzzy handcuffs.
Yeah, and she was like, all right, I'll give it a try. Oh, yeah. Okay, I'm good with the bunny handcuffs. And he's like, no, I need more than that.
And then she's like,
put this metal thing in your mouth. And she's like, whoa, 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 hold up, whoa, hold up.
We ain't playing horsey.
That seems rough.
Right.
And to him, that wasn't even the rough part.
No. But we did see that he didn't get as crazy as Ray did.
I think he didn't get crazy as Ray did because he knew exactly what he wanted.
Right.
I think by time he sat out to do this, because he had done it since 1975, apparently.
I believe that.
And probably before that.
Yeah, I believe he was doing it.
Because you don't just go, yep, I'm into the BDSM. No, you're drawn to it for a reason.
Yeah, something.
Just like some people are drawn to anal sex. Some people are drawn to oral sex. Some people are drawn to whatever they're drawn to. You're drawn to it for a certain reason. So He's been thinking about it probably since he was a kid. And certain images and certain pictures and certain things he saw, heard, smelled, whatever, excited him as it happened. And so he was trying to find that, I believe anyway. And again, I think he probably felt safe with that wife to try, but then she was like, nah, it's too much. It's too much.
Right.
I'm willing to do this, but I ain't doing all that. And he didn't want that. He wanted to do it against her will. And I think that's where the sexual abuse came in. I think the other stuff, the physical and the verbal abuse, was probably all wrapped up together.
Because I know now, I don't think they're super easy to find, but I believe now there are like sex clubs and stuff that you can join that are into that stuff, sex parties and stuff.
Well, you can do it all virtual now. It's a lot safer for people now, but these kind of people like Ben Rhodes and Parker Ray and all them folks, they need that interaction. They need
the fear.
They need to have it. They need to have that rape element. That's control. It's not really about sex. It's about the control.
Right. Because you can't get the fear virtual.
Everything about what he did says control. Cut your hair. Wear this. I'm going to rape you. And then to tell you what I'm going to do before I do it or as I'm doing it screams control. Uh-huh. Screams all of those things. And he had a place set up in his apartment. I mean, it was just, when they found it, I knew they found the photographs, but they also found, like, on his bed, he had the restraints.
Oh, yeah, his house was disgusting. There was blood everywhere. You could see that the bed...
So it wasn't a place for him to sleep. It was a place for him to, quotation marks, work.
Right.
And his work was what he had done to these women.
Right.
Also, in his truck, that just tells you the need that he had. He used it more as opportunity than he did for work. As opportunity to do his work.
But also to get paid while doing it.
But like the rest of the most serial killers, he had that charisma. You believed him. You know?
Well, because he kind of seemed harmless. Like, what's the one guy? I'm going to get his name wrong. Kemper. Ed Kemper seemed completely harmless.
Like a gentle giant.
He just seemed like a big old teddy bear. And that's how these girls kept getting into the car. And he has even said that they would have conversations about the fact that girls are getting into these cars and dying.
And to him, it was more of a challenge. With Ben Rhodes, challenge, yes, maybe, but he didn't really challenge himself. He went to where he knew prey was. He knew they would be at that truck stop. He knew.
9 times out of 10, yeah. And he knew that odds are you're going to run into a hitchhiker.
Right. Didn't really even care for... I don't think he even had a type, really.
No, I think it was just...
Female.
Opportunity.
Female. That was his type, female. Anybody he could control, dominate, rape, murder, torture, that was his thing.
And he didn't care if you were with somebody or not, because he'll just get rid of them.
The cutting of the hair is interesting. It's almost like he needed that as part of his fantasy. Like, he needed
that. Yeah, because he cut everybody's hair, because the victim that was found... She had her hair shorn off.
So I don't know if that was just something that in his initial introduction.
Or if that's part of the trauma.
Or if there is a trauma. Because really looking back at his history, you don't see a whole lot. I mean, it's, you know.
Trauma for them. Like, I'm going to hold you down and cut your hair off.
Or the control. Or the control of it. You know, that like, I'm changing. It's almost like he is objectifying them. But he's changing them to his object. You know, this is how I want to see you. You're going to do it.
And then every time you look in the mirror, you're going to see your hair like that, and you're going to think about it.
Right.
If you survived.
Yeah. These girls are not going to survive because he's letting them go. They're surviving because he's
getting away.
And he's made a mistake somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, like the pulling. I mean, think about how many times he pulled over on a highway and probably did this.
Yeah, because I think there's only 2 survivors in there. Maybe, because all I saw was the 2.
Means he's talked his way out of it before.
Or he's killed them and they've not found them. Because I figure he's probably got a pretty good body count because of the time. I don't think this is just something he decided out of the blue to try one day while he was out on the road.
No, he... No. He. I think he became a truck driver for that
reason. For that reason, yeah.
Because he's already dabbling in this. So he thought, you know what?
And he's keeping the girls for a couple of weeks.
Where do truck drivers go? Truck stops. That's where they go. And really, who else is sharing the cab with you that's going to tell on you? Nobody.
And he, if he would do like the cross-country hauls, that's a couple of weeks driving.
Oh, yeah. But even if he went back home, he's...
Take him with him because he was single at that time.
And he had a place that was already equipped.
But his apartment wasn't soundproof. Didn't the neighbors say they would hear stuff?
Sure, yeah. Well, how could you... I mean, and that was the other thing, too. What he chose as... a gag. It wasn't even the gag, though. It was just a horse bridle. You can talk through that. It was more of a means of torture and control, because that's meant to
cause pain. I mean, the horse bridle would have to cause pain.
A real one, not the ones you can buy that are for play fun.
But look like it.
These were actual legit horse bridles, metal.
Cutting, so that would cut your mouth.
Yeah, cutting into the corners of your mouth as he probably put it on pretty fucking tight, I would assume. Because again, it was not about keeping him quiet. You know, I'm sure he told him, you know, if you scream or whatever, I'm going to kill you. But it's not gonna silence that person.
Mm-mm.
You know, I mean, really.
Maybe a little bit. Well, it couldn't have, because the cop was hearing her screaming her damn head off as soon as he got out of the car.
Right, and it didn't say she had the horse bridle in.
Oh, no, I thought she was gagged.
She may have been, but I know she was screaming. And, I mean, I can't imagine. I have to leave you. I can't imagine being the cop. This looks really fucking painful, but...
But I have to leave you here until backup comes.
Let me call...
Well, I mean,
Let me call a bunch of people that are going to come and take photographs of you and then let you go.
Because it's a crime scene. He can't touch it.
It's evidence.
It's an active crime scene. He can't contaminate it. So
God. Can you imagine? That would
and be... to tell her, I'm sorry, man, but you're a crime scene. I can't help you right this minute.
Yeah. And then you're having to deal with this guy.
Who's trying to get out.
Who first tried to talk his way out of it. Then the cop finds out he actually has a gun. Jesus Christ.
Well, he gave up the gun after he realized he wasn't talking his way out of this one. Because you got the girl in the car screaming her head off, saying, help me, I've been kidnapped. So there's no talking your way out of that. I mean, there's not, because you can say until you're blue in the face, well, this is consensual and we're just playing, but they're gonna believe the woman screaming her head off handcuffed.
You know, and the other thing, too, if you think about it, that's pretty ballsy to just do it on the side of a road like that. You would think you would take...
Yeah, because he had just pulled off the interstate.
So, that tells me that you've done it enough.
He was like, he was pulling off of a ramp. Because he was just like a little bit off the ramp and off the side of the road.
Which
that's
one?
Why the cop was pulling over, because he was blocking.
Right. Right. So
it was a hazard where he stopped.
So either you were caught mid, like getting ready to do what you needed to
or do. Or you were securing her to get to a more secure spot to do it.
Right. It's almost like you just snatched her. And I think that was the case, is that he just took her because she was getting off work or something like that.
Or she was going somewhere and he just picked her up.
Right. And the thing is, though, to be that brazen about it, which tells me that you've done it enough, haven't been caught, you've escalated this.
And that you give zero fucks.
And that you give zero fucks, that you're giving into your urge to do this, that you just don't care.
I mean, you're caught with your metaphoric pants down. Because, I mean, it's one of the... It's, he either just got
it's
her...
It's like, hey, what's going on? Nothing.
Yeah.
Just watching TV. But is that someone screaming?
No. It's a scary movie.
Are you scared? I'm scared. Well, can you step out here and talk to me for a minute?
Because you're in a truck that shouldn't have a TV.
Sir, why is your pants down and penis hard?
I mean, it doesn't explain, like, I don't think I've seen anywhere that the scenario of how he was in that situation was explained.
Well, it said that he was pulling his pants up.
Well, no, I mean, like, why you're just right off an exit ramp.
The other thing is, not just that, the other thing is, the girl is right there. The cop is actually, like, described. He was standing up on the thing looking in, seeing her.
Like, he's seen her. Yeah.
Like, I see you saw me see you saw me see her.
Yeah. Like,
and you're telling me there's nothing going on. Step out of the fucking truck.
Yeah, because I'm seeing.
What's this?
Yeah.
Well, you know, it was consensual. It doesn't seem consensual.
She's screaming, and if it is consensual, you couldn't wait until you were a little further off the end.
And don't you think, it probably wasn't in the report, but at some point the cop said, hey, ma'am, if this is consensual, now's the time to tell me.
Right, and she at no point said, yes,
because
I'm
there
here.
Probably wouldn't have been trouble. There probably would have been a little fine and move on. But you're... Like,
go to a rest stop or something.
Right. But now it's a full-blown investigation because she's telling me it's not consensual. You're telling me it is and it's just a game. Now would be the time for her to tell me that this is consensual and it's just role-play and it's just a game. I don't care what the fuck you're into.
And then I would have... Yeah, he probably would have just been like, hey, dude, wrong time and place.
But I think he realized at this point, though, there's no talking out of this shit. I mean, this is... You know, and then I don't get it with these fucking people. This is what buried him. Why are you leaving? I know you got to have your little trophies or whatever. Why are you just leaving them out for people to fucking find?
Because he didn't think he'd be caught. I mean, if the last guy we talked about thought he would have been caught, do you really think he would have left all of those videotapes and that hour-long recording?
I think it's a compulsion. I think they have to have it.
Serial killers have to have trophies.
That's the part of the ritual. This is so I can remember it.
Right.
This is special to me.
Because the trophies sometimes will get them, will satisfy them until they need to do it again.
Because if you think about people who, and let's not be naive, there's people who kill for a living.
Oh, God, there's hitmen.
The whole thing that they try to do is I'm going to kill you and nobody finds out it was me. Which means they don't keep things. They don't leave things that can trace back to them.
Uh-uh.
Even if someone kills somebody accidentally and they don't want to be caught, they're doing their best to make sure nothing comes back to them.
Yeah.
These motherfuckers leave you a roadmap.
Oh, yeah. They pretty much
exactly
made the case for you.
What they all you got to do is once you catch them, search their shit. You'll find everything you need.
Yeah.
More than likely, they want to tell you about it.
Oh, yeah.
Once they're caught.
Because you finally caught them.
Right. So this guy, along with like someone like BTK.
Once BTK was caught, he's like, "No, yeah, I'll tell you everything."
Yeah, because they think they're smarter than the cops.
Yeah, because up to that point, they had been.
Right. Even Kemper himself said.
He's the one that had to tell him he was doing it.
I've tried to tell him. Nobody will listen. So I'm just going to go tell them and give them the evidence. Nobody's listening. I'm not
going
to stop.
Because he kept going to a bar that he knew cops were in and talking about it and talking about it and talking about it. And they just weren't catching it. And he's like, you dumb fuckers, I did it. It was me.
This guy thinks he's so smart, this Ben Rhodes, that, hey, look, yeah, you caught me with my pants down, chick tied up in the back. Mom's gone. It's all consensual.
And then once he realized...
To him, it's normal.
Well, yeah, to him, it's normal.
To him, it's normal. Yeah. He does not understand why this police officer is looking at this this is...
Not okay.
Like, what the fuck is going on with you? I think that in his mind, and maybe in the mind of most serial killers or people with these kind of hang-ups or serial rapists, this is normal. Like, that part of their brain, this is normal. This is what it's supposed to look like. This is what we're supposed to do. I don't understand why you don't see that. Maybe.
There's a chemical imbalance somewhere.
I mean, it would have to be, right? You know, I'm not saying that people into the lifestyle of BDSM or people in the lifestyle of whatever kink.
Yeah, but they have kill people.
Right. Well, I'm going to make the case for the BDSM community because... And honestly, you could apply this to the gay community. You could apply this to whatever community you want. It would make no sense to kill someone that you're playing with because then you have no one else to play with.
Right.
You have somebody who's consenting.
Yeah, and willing to do whatever it is you want to do.
Because they're enjoying it.
Right.
So it's not really, with these serial killers, it's not about the lifestyle then, is it?
Mm-mm.
It's not.
No, it's about the...
They're using it as a means...
As an excuse.
Or a means to restrain.
Right.
And they're hiding behind it.
Right.
Just like the Satanism thing, they're hiding behind it.
Behind it.
I think Ben Rhodes was into the lifestyle, and then he turned it on his other fantasies, which was murder, rape, the things that.
And he was using the tools of the one to be able to do
to
the
carry
other.
This out, just like he was using his truck to find victims, his profession to find victims.
And it's messed up to think about that. If he would have just waited with that last one, if he would have just waited and not pulled off right off of an exit ramp and put your hazards on, they probably would have never caught him. Mm-mm. His old ass would probably still be out there doing it. Because I think he's old and wrinkly now, still sitting in jail.
Yeah. Still sitting in jail. We're still keeping him alive because there's so much we can learn from him. Ridiculous. He's, like, again, should be killed the same way he killed people. He should be tortured as well.
These life sentences just irritate the hell out of me. I mean, they really do.
And I think he's actually admitted to his...
Oh, yeah, I think he ended up admitting to everything.
And a lot of these fucking people will just hang on to victims, too, and use them and dangle them. Like, oh, yeah, there's more. I know there's more buried.
That's what Bundy tried to do. Mm-hmm. He's like, I can tell you where some other people were at if you just let me stay alive a little bit longer. But they were done messing with him. They're like, nah, man.
So that's another thing that's kind of sick, too. If you want the information, just torture him until you get it.
Or how they'll be like, we've seen this on a couple.
Of course, he may enjoy it. He, like I said, he was definitely wearing the leather harness and shit, so I don't know which way he swung.
But I would think with that harness setup, you wouldn't have been the dominant in that situation.
It didn't look like something.
It did not look like a dominant outfit. It looked like he wanted to be the submissive.
Right. And again, there's nothing wrong with that, but that's what it looked like. So, again, that leads me to believe that he didn't know much about the lifestyle either.
Yeah, so he may have just been saying, hey, I'm into this, I want to try it, and then he just found out, hey, I can use some of this to kill some people.
And, you know, really, the horse bridle part is not even part of the, well, it's kind of part of the S&M, but it's more pony play.
Right. And again, if you want to be a pony, go be the best pony you can be, but... have somebody that's consenting with you to do it.
I can't wait to close this chapter either. What a sick fuck. What's the next one we're doing?
Our next two are going to be H.H. Holmes.
The American Ripper.
And everybody's favorite, Jack the Ripper.
The English H.H. Holmes.
Well, it's rumored that Holmes could have been the Ripper because he was actually in London at the time of the Ripper cases.
I feel like he was going to be juicy.
Really?
I do.
Really?
Like, nice boobs. Going to be juicy.
I don't even know what to say to that. I don't know where to... Yeah. Wow.
Well, I just think there's a lot of substance to him.
Oh, my God.
Weight. Gravity. God. You know what I mean?
Oh, my.
Brings a teardrop to my eye.
All right. Well, with that... we'll end this one. And we'll see you next time for Holmes. Bye.